Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby, it's Rouse's Football Friday. Time to kick off a big weekend of football. Glad you can join myself, Mike Haas, and WWL College and NFL football analyst Mike Dettelier for Sports Talk Special, live from the Rouse's in Metairie. 2,900 veterans. Mike already checking out some of the specials. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Good, Mike. Yeah, we're looking at everything here, but one of the big things around Thanksgiving time, you buy that spiral ham and you get that turkey for free. So
turkey's frozen, yes, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's not.
Don't roll in here on Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, you can still do that, but, you know, you got to cook it, you know, every once in a while. But, Mick, got a lot of great specials here at Rouse's, and not only food but also spirits. And if you don't want to do any cooking, that's the other part about it at Rouse's. You can come get stuff here. You don't have to do no cooking. Just come buy it. Bring it at the house. Everybody who eat it. Man, great food here.
Bring your own containers and say, look what I did.
Man, and fast.
Unbelievable.
I slept till 10:30 this
Unbelievable.
Morning.
Unbelievable. Hey, big show coming up. It is Falcons Extremely Dislike Week. I don't know, you know, dislike. Let's go ahead. Extremely Dislike Week. And we'll talk about that.
No, it's Hate Falcons
Week. All right. You say it, not
it's
me.
It's Hate Falcons Week.
And it's going to be the first start, of course, for Tyler Shuck at Caesars Superdome. It's his third game, so we'll talk about what the black and gold need to do to win back-to-back. They haven't won back-to-back games since Week 10 and 11 last year when they beat Cleveland and Atlanta. So we look forward to that. Also talk about the latest on Lane Kiffin and the search for LSU's next football coach. Preview tomorrow's matchup with Western Kentucky in Tiger Stadium with Zach Nagy, publisher of the LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. That's at 4:35. We'll get the inside scoop on the Falcons and their slide, and we'll talk about Kirk Cousins and what they need to do. D. Orlando Ledbetter with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution at 5:25. At 6 o'clock, it's Frank Wilson. It's the LSU football coaches show. And at 7 o'clock, then you got a choice. You got the high school football playoff action with Ian Ozan and Coach Lou Valden for the Manning Family Children's Hospital Prep Football Roundup. That's on WWL 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app, or the Pelicans and the Dallas Mavericks. The Pels on the road against the Mavs tonight. Tip off at 7:30. That'll be on the Big 870. So our team today, everybody be safe. Our team is on the road. Deuce is on the road to Shreveport, where his son Curtis in Metairie Day, or Metairie Country Day, will take on Calvary Baptist. That's tonight. Also, Steve Geller is on the road.
He's in Tioga.
Rummel takes on Tioga. So our boys are on the road this afternoon and traveling. So everybody be safe. But got some good games, man. We're already. You got Carr and Jesuit tonight. Carr, of course, got the bye. Jesuit beat McDonough 35, St. Augustine, and Acadiana. That's a Tad Gormley. So
that should be a really good game, man, because Mike, I tell you the story. They come to Louisiana line camp, okay? Coach Pete Jenkins and Coach Rod and I'll run it now along with Kevin Mawai. And so they took a team picture of the St. Aug offensive defensive line. So Coach Rod come get me and said, hey, look, Valdez over there with the guys. And I'm like, what? Man, that looked like a semi-pro team. They had, I think, 18 guys, 18 took pictures. Okay, for the shirts, none of them wore anything smaller than a triple extra large.
Wow.
So I told them one thing, I know when Valdez can't complain about he ain't got no size at St. Aug. He got some players there, and Coach Valdez for so many years was at St. James High School, a great success there, won some championships, and now at St. Aug trying to revive that tradition because growing up, they were a bad team, man. Woo-wee, you didn't want to see them on the schedule. Hey, I see Charlie Long's daddy here.
Yeah.
Hey, he's shopping here. Listen, I'm going to tell him to put a couple extra stuff in for you.
Spitting image.
How about that?
You, Charlie, good job.
No, he's a little shorter than Charlie. He's 6'10 and a half.
Good.
Something like
that's pretty cool.
So, yeah, we did just in front of us. So, great to see Mr. Long here. But, St. Aug, really talented team. But, my God. Like, I haven't seen anything like what Edna Carr has since St. Aug in the 70s. And Roe Brinelaw, we're talking about that. Because Roe covered so much of that at that time in the city. And he's like, Mike, I'm not sure. And he said, I'll be honest with you. I'll go on the record and say, I think these St. Aug teams back then were really great. But Edna Carr today could beat those teams of the 70s, and you just say, whoa.
That's saying something.
That's saying a lot. So I know Coach Valden and Ian Ozan, they do a great job covering the prep scene all across Louisiana. And they should have some satellite stuff hooked up with, you know, Deuce over there.
Yeah.
Almost in Shreveport and, you know. Steve, I had to explain him what Tioga was. He didn't. Mike, he said, I live here all this time. I never heard of Tioga, Louisiana. What? I said, man, I done been there enough. I can't explain how you get there. Good luck.
That's right.
Because them dudes there, they bad to the bone. I mean, you got some tough guys playing on Tioga. Del Rummel, man, they have really built up a tremendous program there, too, under Coach Monica.
Yep, Tioga 9-2, Rummel 7-4. The goal, of course, Caesars Superdome, Thursday, December 11th, Friday, December 12th, and Saturday, December 13th. That's the LHSAA Championship weekend. So that's 8 games. This weekend is just the Beat Atlanta weekend. It's the tomorrow night, the Atlanta Hawks, Smoothie King Center against the Pelicans, and then, of course, Sunday, the 3-7 Falcons and the 2-8 Saints. 3:25 kickoff. You can't say that enough because it's not even a 3:05. It's a 3:25. And our man Drew Brees will be doing the game for Fox. We talked to Kellen Moore this afternoon. He said he talked to Drew earlier today. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Drew came on with us Wednesday on our quarterback-to-quarterback segment at 4:35. And so Bobby tried to lay it out for him. Drew, you got to be objective. He says, I will be, but I hate the Falcons. He was to the point with it. Man, no beating around the bush.
Jeff Nowak was saying, what would be the over-under on a us or our slipping out for Drew? Right? That's what he's always said, us or our. Right?
Maybe one, two. He does that on the interviews a lot, too.
That's true.
Whatever number Nowak got, I'll take the over.
That's right. Again, we are at the Rouse's Markets. 2,900 veterans. Be here till 6 o'clock. Get ready for your Thanksgiving shop and save at Rouse's for everything you need for your holiday meals. And if you'd rather just skip the cooking, like Mike said, Rouse's has complete holiday meals ready for you. Back after this, Fans and the Pro, Mike and Mike here till 6 o'clock. Come by and say hello. We're on WWL. Welcome back, Mike and Mike. Mike Haas, Mike Dottillier for a special Fans and the Pro. We're at the Rouse's on Veterans, 2,900 Veterans Boulevard. Shout out to Magazine Pizza while we're here for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We'll be talking, of course, LSU and their coaching search. Tulane's got a big one. They are at Temple. Temple's still trying to get a win to get to bowl eligible. Tulane, ranked, has their own control of their destiny. If they beat Temple, beat Charlotte, and then win the AAC championship game, which they should be hosting, I would assume, at that point, or close to it.
We'll see.
If they win out, right, it'll be close. They'll see what Navy does. And then they're in. So that's a big one for them.
All I can tell you is you go into Philly and play in Temple. They got some big dudes there, and they got a pretty talented football team at Temple.
Here's what you got to know, and you already know this. Tulane got drilled by UTSA 48-26 back on October 30th. Temple beat UTSA on October 4th, 2721. So you want to get your team's attention? There you go. Don't take these cats lightly.
Well, the thing about it is, UTSA, they're a different team when they're on the road.
Yeah.
You'd have played that in New Orleans. That might have been a different story. But, man, they are hell on wheels. Are you talking about beating them in San Antonio? Their record is just fantastic there. But Temple, and I had a neighbor that coached at Temple 1 year. He's from Inglewood, California. And he told me, man, I just coach in the South. I go to Philly. He said it lasted 1 year. That was it. I was out of there. But a big team, physical team. Their quarterback is really talented, have a big play tight end. They can run the football. They've been a bit erratic as a team up and down, but when they on, they are really good. I think this is a big, big game for Tulane to go on the road to play a really physical Temple football team.
Yep, Temple, when they average 34.6 carries a game, and this is even behind their quarterback, Evan Simon, who's got 22 touchdown passes. That's ninth most.
They set you up
in college. So, yeah.
And that's as they run it. Then all of a sudden, he goes to kind of give that little play action, because you can do that because you're running the ball so well. He pulls that ball out of the belly, right over the top. And so Tulane's going to have to be ready for that. And you're going to need a big game from Jake Rasseloff.
Yep.
No question.
And he's got 557 yards. He's got 11 touchdowns rushing, 12 touchdowns through the air. Tulane 5-1 in the conference, 8-2 overall. Navy 6-1 in conference, 8-2 overall. And, of course, we want Tulane to win. But if for some reason they don't, go James Madison.
James Madison? Who watches James Madison unless you're betting on him? You Mike Hawes?
I have to say James Madison wants the show. I'm done. Still rooting for the Wave. Got to take a break. Come back. We'll talk LSU and all that's going up in Tiger Town with Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. That is after a quick break. 2900 Veterans Boulevard at the Rouse's Market. Mike and Mike till 6 o'clock. Back after this.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Mike Dettelier. We're at the Rouse's on Veterans Boulevard, 2900 Veterans until 6 o'clock. Come on down and just get everything you need for all of your Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's Thursday. Man, it is just flying, flying, flying. We're going to talk to Zach Nagy. This is an LSU update, and it's brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU search and their next head football coach, keep it locked on WWL. And Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated at ZNaggy20. Zach, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me, man. It sure as heck been a chaotic week. Excited to talk a little bit of ball and obviously this coaching search with you guys.
Well, give us a lay. Just tell us. Just get it out of the way.
Run with it, Zach.
It hasn't been a chaotic week. It's been a chaotic month. Tell us, what is the latest?
Yeah, man, no doubt. These last, let's say, two and a half weeks have been nothing short of chaotic. As to Brian Kelly got relieved of his duties, this program, this organization, the administration, they hit the ground running for this coaching search, and they identified Lane Kiffin as that number one target on the board. This was the one that they have been searching for. This is the one that they've honed in on. and there's been a ton of traction gaining their way. If we were talking last Monday of last week, I would have told you that Ole Miss was in a really strong spot to retain him and keep him in Oxford. Fast forward to obviously the end of last week in Florida, gained a ton of steam, gained a ton of momentum. And then the end of the weekend came in, and then early this week, LSU started to bring flying in that his family hopped on a private jet arranged by LSU officials and made their way to Baton Rouge to check out the city, high schools, real estate, etc. And then now here we are. A couple of days later, Lane Kiffin met with the Ole Miss administration and decided that he's going to delay this decision. He wants to coach the Egg Bowl for the Ole Miss Rebels. And so now this delays it another 8 days. We'll see what ultimately happens from here. But LSU has positioned themselves extremely well in the Lane Kiffin sweepstakes.
Zach, if I was going to stay somewhere, and I know this is an important game with the Egg Bowl and playing Mississippi State, and I'm thinking about my players now because those are the guys that kind of busted. But, you know, all those summer, you know, workouts and everything else and film work and lifting them weights and running, I'd want to kind of relieve a little bit of that pressure on them and say, you know what? Hey, guys, I'm staying. You didn't hear it. Okay, we heard it from Matt Rhule at Nebraska. We heard it from Cignetti at Indiana. He decides to stay. We've heard it from other guys that have decided that they don't want to actively be pursued by another team. Lane's different now. He's one of one. Believe me. Y'all guys are going to find out real quick if he takes that job at LSU. He's one of one. But it's a strange sort of thing to put your athletic director in that he's got to address this and says absolutely nothing other than we'll talk about it after the Egg Bowl.
Undoubtedly.
I think the lean is toward goodbye.
Correct. It's a unique situation, and you're spot on with that. And you got to think about the players. You got to think about those within the building. And he's not really doing that right now. He's definitely open to these other opportunities, flirting with these other opportunities. Well, Ole Miss is in the midst of a historic season, man. College football playoff, they're on the cusp of it. And he's made the decision alongside Keith Carter, the Ole Miss athletics director, like you alluded to right there, that he's going to coach next week. And they'll make that decision next Saturday. All signs would point towards him departing Oxford. I feel like you said right there, if you kind of read the tea leaves, it would really point in that direction. These next 7 to 8 days are going to be absolutely fascinating once again. But LSU is feeling really strong in their pursuit of Lane Kiffin. It's definitely a unique situation and certainly one that I have not seen in quite some time.
Yeah, one of the things, Zach, I would tell Virg Osberry if he was sitting next to me like Mike Hoss is make sure you get that signature on that contract quick and just make sure it ain't Grandpa Munster. With that invisible ink, because man, I'm just telling you, Lane is until you know for sure, man. I've had so many people. I know I got inside information. Those are the same cats that told me 2 weeks ago. I got inside information that Nick Saban's got the job. He's just not announcing it. So that insider information is one thing, okay, and who knows where you're getting it from. My thing with Lane is you're not sure until he signs it. And that may be next weekend or whenever. More speculation, just like I think I got maybe four or five different people call me about, the word is that Coach Orgeron would be interested in joining Lane Kiffin's staff at LSU. I tell him, old news. We had Coach O on 3 weeks ago. He said the exact same thing. He went on Barstool Sports, said the exact same thing. I think it was ESPN Jacksonville. He made that same comment. It would depend on who would be the head coach, but he would certainly strongly consider it. Man, they play this like this is new news. It's old news with it. But if you know the relationship between Coach O and Lane, they were at USC together. Coach O was with the Saints for a year, left, went joined Lane Kiffin and his dad at Tennessee. They spent 1 year in Knoxville, doof, back at USC, and then, you know, it didn't work out real well for Lane, and Coach O took over to finish it. But That's a long-standing relationship between those two guys, and I think if he got the job, as Coach O said, I've never been officially contacted, which you can read between the lines, that officially stuff. That tie-in is there between him and Coach O.
It is. And the first part that you said right there, Mike, I love that because Lane Kiffin is obviously a crazy cat. We know that. You want to go get that signature and you want to lock things down as quickly as possible because until that ink dries or whenever that signature is put on paper, oh my goodness, he's gonna weigh all of his options. We've seen that throughout this coaching carousel and this cycle. So no doubt on that front. And then you flip the script to Ed Orgeron. Like you said, you had him on a couple of weeks ago, and I heard that. And this is a guy who has been open to really having a reunion in Baton Rouge. Having LSU stamp of approval now on this front is it's crazy. It's crazy is the best way to give it to you, Mike. And for me, who wouldn't want to have him on your staff right now? This is a guy, if his sole focus is recruiting and, of course, defensive line, you're going to be building a juggernaut. So him and Lane Kiffin's relationship, like you said, is longstanding. This is one that he's been open to for quite some time. Now you got to continue to get over that first hurdle, and that first hurdle is getting Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge. Ultimately, time will tell on that front. But, man, if you can get over that first hurdle and then get over that second one of being reuniting him with Ed Orgeron, man, you're going to be putting yourself in a really good spot here.
What are you expecting tomorrow? I'll throw it to on the field now. From Michael Van Buren, we saw him in his first start last week against Arkansas. I'll be honest with you, Zach. I thought he did a really solid job. He moved the pocket. He made that big run at the end to get that first down over 30. I think it was a 35-yard run. But he didn't put the ball in harm's way. Again, difficulties when you get inside someone else's territory, inside the 40, to score touchdowns. You have to settle for field goals. Running attack was better, I should say, but it wasn't great. What are you expecting tomorrow? You're playing a team that's averaging over 31 points a game. So Western Kentucky can hum it. Now, defensively, sort of matzo-matzo with them. But what do you want to see improvement-wise from Michael Van Buren?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, Mike. I loved what I saw from Michael Van Buren last week. And sure, it wasn't perfect. I don't think either of us are going to go out here and say that he played this flawless game. But he took care of the football. He made those intermediate throws that you want to see from him. Sure, there's still some accuracy issues for a young quarterback that's still evolving and doesn't have a quarterback's coach right now with Joe Sloan off of the staff. So this is a guy who's still evolving as a player, and he showcased that ability to extend plays, that ability to roll to his right and really get some yards on the ground, like you said, with that 30-plus yard run that he had against Arkansas. So I thought it was a solid first start. And I think it was a great way to set the foundation here in front of Tiger Stadium, his first start for LSU. I was really pleased with what I saw from Michael Van Buren. But now, as you move forward into this week, it's about taking those next steps, unlocking that deep ball, trying to hit maybe a Barry and Brown, Aaron Anderson down the sideline on a 35-plus yard pass, try to extend plays and get those explosive plays intact. I think he set the foundation last week, and now you're playing against an inferior opponent in Western Kentucky. Try to take the top off. Try to see what you can do against this team. Sure, they can put points on the board, but ultimately LSU obviously is going to go out here on senior night and try to get a win in Tiger Stadium and go out with a bang on this home schedule. I'm excited to see what Van Buren can do. And then obviously you look at the defense, go out there and handle business, get a win, and put yourself in good position going into Oklahoma next week.
Just whipping through, you know, some articles today about the Western Kentucky game. And, you know, I think LSU will just eventually kind of wear them down, irrespective of how they kind of run the ball. You know, that's been, you know, a problem. And I kid you not, I saw like four headlines that said, "Can the Tigers offense finally work?" And I'm going, we have been saying that.
Wait a minute.
That headline,
seen this movie already.
That headline has been applicable for the last like 7 weeks. It's like you feel like it's there, but then it's not there. And so it's just kind of amusing to go, my gosh, we are asking the same question, you know, right now, 10 games in. It's a senior's last game. It's the last home game of the season, and it's the same question. And I don't know the answer. I don't think LSU knows the answer.
I bet they don't run it for a ton of yardage.
Yeah.
Based off of the movie I've seen before.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And we're sitting here, like you said, last home game of the year. We still don't know what this offense is truly capable of because we haven't seen them max out that potential. We haven't seen that kind of balanced offensive attack. We know that you can throw the ball a little bit. Sure, Garrett Nussmeier was hurt this year, and it wasn't necessarily the best year for him. But now you got Michael Van Buren at the helm, and you got to try to find a balanced offensive attack. I think Mike can sit with me and kind of back me on this. Harlan Berry is a just uber-talented player. Give him 15 to 18 touches this weekend. Let him unlock the ground game. Pass it to him in the backfield. Allow him to have one of those big games that we've been waiting for. But nonetheless, those headlines remain true. We have not seen this team really play to their potential offensively. Of course, you want to sit back and hope that they can do that this weekend against Western Kentucky in Tiger Stadium.
Zach, I think the big question moving forward now, and yes, I want to see Harlan Berry more. I want to see Tre'Davious Green. Come on, this ain't about plays. It's about getting it to your best players. Tre'Davious is a big-time player. From what you can gather, and I think this is going to be the $64 million question for if it's Lane Kiffin or anybody else, how many of these guys are going to stay here? Because we know all of them have representation, and they're getting calls already about leaving LSU. I think that, for me, it's not piecing together a staff and what you're going to get in other areas. It's keeping some of your core players in place. Because if you think that, okay, we LSU and all these guys are going to stay, you're kidding yourself. It's not going to happen. That new coach, he better kind of build the levee around Baton Rouge to make sure nobody escapes and goes somewhere else.
Undoubtedly. Roster retention is key this offseason for this program. That young nucleus of players that you have, it's outstanding. Whether it's Harlan Berry, DJ Pickett, Carius Kern, even Tre'Davious Green sitting as a sophomore, you have a young nucleus that really has the opportunity to take that next step this offseason and break out next year. The young players that you have are super talented. And then you can even look at a couple of upperclassmen that you want to retain and get on the field next year, that being Whit Weeks, after truly having a challenging year while battling that ankle injury and missing the back end of the schedule. So absolutely, roster retention is critical. I know, like you said, a lot of people want to sit back and talk about the support staff that this next head coach will bring in. But then kind of step number one is locking down this roster. And again, like you said, building a wall around Baton Rouge and making sure that these guys stay, because this new age of the transfer portal, people are going to bounce in the blink of an eye and enter that and try to go find money and chase as much as they can. But LSU has a really strong support from an NIL perspective. Make sure that these guys on your roster are handled accordingly. Lock in those key young players like a Harlan Berry and DJ Pickett, and you're going to put yourself in a really good spot for this next head coach. You have a super talented roster. It just didn't work out this year under the regime. And now you get a new one, and now you got to make sure to retain this roster. Like I said, you'll be in a pretty good spot if you can do just that.
If I had to vote for an MVP on LSU's team today, it would not to think long. Mansoor Delane. Think about him coming in and what he did. He locked down one side and said, okay, I dare you to throw it. Now, here's the thing with Green. He made that mistake near the goal line. I don't question the play. I question where you threw it. Because he threw it a little bit inside, and man, gave Delane that opportunity to kind of uppercut right in there and make the play. Man, what he's done this year, I think we all thought he was a good player. None of us thought he would be this type football player, and he's the best corner or even defensive back at LSU since Stingley. And I don't think there's even a debate on that. Just too damn bad you only got him for 1 year.
Absolutely, and I'll be completely transparent. When I saw Mansoor Delane ultimately sign with the team and come to Baton Rouge, I thought this was more of a Swiss Army knife in the defensive backfield, a guy who could play a couple of different spots but wasn't necessarily spectacular at one. And boy, did he put me to shame. I mean, this is a lockdown cornerback who's cruised up NFL draft boards and is in the conversation to be the number one cornerback off the board in the 2026 NFL draft. So, yeah, Mansoor Delane came out and really hit the ground running. And I love that you said that he's in that conversation, if not is the best cornerback since Derek Stingley. His numbers speak for themselves. He shut down one side of the field routinely. And Mike, I'll tell you, he has not been healthy. He told us that on Tuesday night. He's been dealing with a little bit of a groin injury over the last couple of weeks, but he's been playing through it and continuing to have Corey Raymond's trust to put him out there on the field. Mansoor is an absolute beast, the true MVP of this team. And I really look forward to watching him at the next level because he's evolved this year. And I think the sky's the limit for him moving forward.
I got to laugh, and we'll let you go. But Corey Raymond told me in the offseason, he was like, hey, big guy, I'm going to tell you something. If our secondary don't play good this year, you can blame that on me. I think he was trying to tell me without telling me that Delane was a lot better maybe than even he expected when he came in from Virginia Tech. Zach, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Always appreciate your time and insights.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All righty. Thank you, Zach. Tiger fans, keep it locked on WWL for the latest on LSU's search for the next head football coach. We'll bring you breaking news when it happens on air, online, and on social media. Also, listen to Sports Talk weekdays at 4 p.m. for your up-to-date reports, LSU insiders, expert analysis, and it's all brought to you by First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. For the latest on LSU, you can count on WWL. If you have time, also, you can go on the AMFM.com and free on the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break.
Welcome back. Mike Haas, Mike Dettelier, Mike and Mike until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll remind you, sidelinepass.org, the 11th annual toy and gift drive in partnership with Gail Benson, Cam Jordan, Juwan Johnson. Tuesday, November 25th, 6 to 9, 5800 Airline Drive. That is the Saints practice facility. $10 for kids, $15 for adults, along with a new and unwrapped gift or a toy. We will talk about Scrim the Dog, My Cause, My Cleats, Saints and Falcons. A lot coming up in the second hour here at the Rouses. We're at Veterans Boulevard, 2900. Come by and say hello. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Mike and Mike here on a special edition of Fans and the Pro. The news is next.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rouses, 2900 Veterans Boulevard. Mike Haas and Mike Dettelier here till 6 o'clock tonight. And for those that are wondering, and I love this weekend, it is My Cause, My Cleats weekend, because I can find players all over the field because of their shoes. And it's a big thing for me. I know no one else cares, but I care deeply. Because one player, John Ridgeway, for the Saints, will be wearing scrim shoes.
What?
To benefit Zeus Rescue, trying to eradicate pet homelessness and euthanasia. They pull animals from the Hikill Metro shelters. It's not an intake shelter, but John Ridgeway will have scrim shoes. And now, what does that have to do with anything? Mike, introduce our next guest.
So many years on Channel 6 on WDSU, and I told her she's the last of the Mohicans female-wise, but she gave so much comfort to so many people when we got hit. 3 different storms in 4 years. Margaret Orr. So I just finished telling her that story. So many people tell me, oh, I miss Margaret so much. I don't even recognize the people there on WDSU. We miss her every week, so we miss you.
I miss all of you. But I got to say, those shoes are amazing. Yeah. Have you seen them?
Yes, I saw a picture of them. I haven't seen them in person.
Yes,
I
haven't seen, but the Scrim is on the side. And have you met Scrim?
I have not.
Scrim is pretty adorable, a Heinz 57. So, you know, he was really nervous for a long time. And wherever Michelle would go, he would just shake. Keith Sparrow interviewed us not too long ago. Michelle Cherami was there, the owner of Zeus's Rescue, and the mama to Scrim, along with Scooby. Scooby is, of course, a brother of another mother, to Scrim, and kind of Scrim's therapy dog. So Scrim got up in Michelle's lap and just chilled and was happy as could be. And I'm told, no, there's no way he could escape. He had on two leashes. He had on an AirPod. He had on something else so that he could never, ever, ever get away. But Scrim doesn't want to. He's happy.
Well, Scrim is a book now.
Yeah, you're right.
Written by Margaret Orr, illustrated by Matt Reinhard, and on the back flap, the whatever you call it, it would be a foreword, but it's on the back.
Yeah, it
says, it's Mrs. Benson.
Oh, Gail Benson.
Gail Benson.
Yes.
I just don't know what that is called. I don't know when it's on the back of the book.
Well, it's
a backward. It's not a forward.
It's not a forward.
Yeah,
so,
you're right, Mike.
So I got
this
it.
A book about this most infamous dog that kept getting out. Where did the origin come for you?
So this is how it happened. I was at a Barkus pre-party, and of course Barkus, the crew of Barkus, the big dog parade since 1992. It's amazing. So I was at this pre-party, and along comes Michelle, and Michelle had just rescued Scrim, and she said, "You want to meet Scrim?" And I said, "Duh." And Matt Reinhard was there, and she said, "You want to meet Scrim?" And of course, he said, "Of course." So we walked two blocks away, and Michelle said, "You see that hole up there in the screen?" And I went, "Yeah." "That's what he went through." And then he made that great leap off of the balcony, 13 and a half feet to the ground below, and scored a perfect 10. And I asked the obvious question that I don't think anybody had asked. Why did he jump? Why did he jump? It's in the book. He told me.
There's Deuce. There's a picture of Deuce.
Deuce is there. Bobby Hebert, Gail Benson,
Archie,
the Whistler,
Bobby must
Archie.
Be eating on there.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you say Michelle rescued Scrim,
yes.
Which time?
Well,
I mean,
so
come on.
The final
you just can't
time.
Say
he's a he was sighted everywhere. So, you know, he was at Audubon Zoo, sound asleep by the riverbanks, and then he awoke. Look, you're on that page now.
Yes.
To a whoosh and a kaboom. It was New Year's Eve, and fireworks are scary. And so this is my favorite line. "I ran and ran all the way to Harahan." And he did. He was sighted at the Home Depot in Harahan, and he hid in the pots.
He's following me because I'm at the Home Depot at Harahan every day.
Oh, well, I'm at the Home Depot
me.
And the Lowe's.
I could work there. I know I could work there. That's amazing.
But this is a book about a dog who was lost, who was going to be put up to be euthanized. Michelle rescued him, and he was running around the town, didn't have a home, had to search for food and water every day. And some people were saying, well, let him be free. Dogs like this need love. They need regular food. They need clean food. They need to have their shots. We don't want them to, you know, have heartworms. And that the poor dog was shot, you know. So now he's in a loving environment. He goes to Zeus's rescue every day. Oh my gosh, here he is with Scooby.
Scooby.
I know. Here's
Martyr's
a picture.
Martyr's showing us the pictures.
Oh, is he so cute?
Radio.
Robin Barnes here with the crew of Barca, since you just showed me a picture. And you can see Scrim 504 on Instagram and all of that. But now he's happy. There is graffiti.
I jumped to the end to see how it ends.
Oh, well, wait. Wait, you have to look at each page, because on each page there is graffiti that says Scrim was here. There is also Slim the Squirrel, who was on each page. And he really did. Mike went to the last page.
I did.
Like, what?
That's what, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, come
I
on.
To see what happens.
That's the way he reads a book.
To see what happens.
You don't go from front to back.
I have a friend who does that, too. And I did, no, that ruins it.
Well,
but wait, go back to
I've
the
read.
Superdome.
This is the first,
back
book to the first book I've read in 20 years.
Wait, do you see the graffiti?
Yes.
Where is it?
That's the
Taylor Swift bracelet.
Abby Jones, our director of sales and marketing, uh-huh. who won an award last night from the Downtown Development
Woo-hoo!
District that I was at. She got the award. She's the most creative thinker. Then we went to a bar in the Marity called Pep's Pub.
Uh-huh.
And I only went there because it says, dogs welcome, people tolerable.
So, you know, yeah.
And there were a lot of dogs there.
Of course there were.
Yeah, Abby's a genius.
People
hard,
love to take their dogs out.
And it's hard to break them of that
here.
Habit, too.
Yeah.
Of running. I live like Bobby always says, Mike, you live in Wild Kingdom. I mean, I got all kind of animals. I still live on the bayou. Now, I've seen cats that'll do that. They'll take off and they'll leave 4, 5, 6 days a week and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's unusual for a dog, but once he gets started doing that, it's hard to, because something yeah. triggers in his brain.
Yeah.
No matter how happy he is, I'm going to do it again. But he won't
afraid.
Go that. But
he was afraid.
I think he was afraid of kind of hit outside. What he was hearing or seeing
yeah.
was totally different from where he was at. And then it triggers, okay, how do I get back?
Maybe.
How do I get back? Because when I was young, we had a dog. He was a fence jumper, no matter what. You know, it got to the point my dad would tie, he didn't want to kind of put the chain on him.
Right.
But it got to the point where he figured out how to get himself from the chain, and he would jump the fence just to walk sort of the neighborhood.
Right.
And then come back. But once they started,
yeah.
it's yep. hard to stop them. And you're talking about jumping from where he jumped at?
Oh,
from
13 and a half feet.
A cat? That's one thing. The dog to do it, and he ain't the biggest dog in the world, to land and not mess up something, he was fortunate.
Let me tell you, when I held that dog, he was all muscle. And it's from running and running. I mean, he did so much running. It was crazy.
And so you're here signing
yes.
books until 6 o'clock tonight. So
with Matt Renard.
Yep. Very cool.
So, and all of my royalties go to the crew of Barkas, to Animal Rescue.
That's awesome.
Well done. Well done.
Oh, wait.
Is it going to rain this weekend?
Slight chance. You know, we've got this weak cold front that's coming through Saturday night.
I knew it.
A little bit
it.
Cooler okay. on Sunday. Not much. Mid-70s. Then we warm up again. We pick up that onshore flow. And then another cold front is going to be pushing through, and it's turning colder. And right now it's looking nice for Thanksgiving.
Charlie, you got that taped? We got
right.
the weather report here for the weekend.
You can take the woman out of the weather, but you can't take the weather out of the woman.
That's
Margaret,
it.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank
so great to
on,
see
Margaret.
You.
Awesome.
Got to take a break. Fans in the Pro here at Rouse's 2900 Veterans Boulevard. Back after this here on WWL. Welcome back. It is Fans in the Pro. Mike and Mike. Mike Haas, Mike Dottillier with you until 6 o'clock tonight here at the Rouse's 2900 Veterans Boulevard. And it is Atlanta weekend. Atlanta Hawks and the Pelicans tomorrow. But Sunday, it is the Falcons and the Saints. Not where either team wants to be. What, 3-7, 2-8. Atlanta, a 5-game losing
right.
skid. And when you think back as we bring on to the show, it's just, Mike, you take it. I don't want to mess it up.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, been covering the Falcons for a long time. D. We both in the same boat at this stage of the game, covering teams in the area. Great to have you on again. And what a wild ride this year has been for the Falcons. And that high expectations for this team before the season started that maybe, just maybe, they could catch the Buccaneers. That ain't going to happen. I can see it in them. That Berlin trip to me looked like maybe the final straw.
Yeah, no question about it, Mike and Micah. Thanks for having me tonight. That was, they had the lead late, lost it to the Colts, gave up 244 yards, and they fought with the Panthers the next week, but same thing, got the lead late and gave it up. That's just a sign of a team that's not ready to play winning football yet.
The crazy thing is, okay, the Saints had played the Panthers. Bryce, he couldn't buy yardage to throw. I mean, he was all over the board against the Saints. And then he throws for 444 yards. You stopped the run. That was the good part about it. But Young had an absolutely terrific game against the Falcons.
Yeah, no doubt. Once he figured out they were down to their fourth and fifth cornerbacks, he went and attacked those guys. He went after Natron Means with the rookie and was able to go after Natron Brooks, backup corner, and they were able to get some stuff working and career high 448 for Bryce Young, no question about it.
Man, tell us a little bit about the two rooks, because there was a lot of hype coming in about James Pierce. Not about his talent. Man, I watched him enough at Tennessee. Man, he could play. Now, he didn't pass the Dale Carnegie test for some teams, and he didn't get along with some guys at University of Tennessee. But, man, having watched him, I think he's pieced together a really good rookie year along with Xavier Watts at safety, and then certainly Jalen Walker, the first-round pick cornerback from Georgia.
Yeah, no doubt. They paired those two guys together, and we're hoping they could help with the pass rush. It was strange to me that the Falcons made a big deal of it, that they went and talked to James' mother, basically saying, hey, James, don't embarrass us. and so he's been a good citizen here, good rookie class, we're bonding together with him and Jalen Walker, and it's showing on the football field. Same with Xavier Watts. He doesn't say much, but he knows what to do, and I believe he's got three interceptions on the season.
Man, he's really, really played well. Has it been feast or famine, D? Because when you look at it, they're one of the top teams in rushing the quarterback. They do a fantastic job getting after him. But then they give up a huge play also, too. And that, if you live by the sword, you die by it, too, in this league. And that's been an Achilles heel for them defensively. And teams have been able to run against them. And I think in the start of the season, I remember us talking about it, you felt that was a major concern back then, and it still is today.
Yeah, and what's happening is, they're coming out, they're fighting, but they're wearing down because the offense isn't helping them much. I mean, they were 0-for-8 on third downs in Berlin. And then the three before, it was 8-for-40. It was like 20%. So your defense is out there a lot. You're going to get wore down. That's suddenly what happened with Jonathan Taylor getting the 244. But then, they had coverage issues the next week. So, good teams, those areas don't just keep popping up all over the place. Once you get one fire out, something else pops up. So that means your talent level's not up to all the way NFL standard. Your depth's not there.
We always talk about Bijan Robinson, and he's an upper-level player. In the first five games, he looked like he was the best running back in the NFL, other than Jonathan Taylor. And it's not been as well the final few weeks that we've seen play. But one guy's been a pain in the butt to the Saints, and that's Tyler Allgeier. I did the numbers. In the five games he's played against the Saints, he's had 52 carries for 346 yards. That means an average of 6.7 yards a carry against the Saints. So, man, listen, I ain't reinventing the wheel here. Bijan and Tyler Allgeier have to be the keys for Atlanta to beat the Saints.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Mike, especially given that Drake London will be out and your top target is Kyle Pitts now because Darnell Mooney hasn't done much. But, yeah, you certainly want to run the ball. You got Kirk Cousins back. He hasn't started in a couple weeks. And, you know, he wants to, you know, play action and play some under center and throw off of the run. So, yeah, a heavy dose of Bijan and Algier would certainly be in order for the Atlanta Falcons.
And beyond Pitts, which is probably, I mean, because it goes, London was your top receiver, Pitts was your second, Robinson your third. Is it Darnell Mooney? Does he get, you know, obviously somebody's got to step up in that wide receiver group, or is it just going to be kind of Pitts and Bijan Robinson? Because Bijan's caught 47 passes as well, so it's not like he's just doing it, you know, running the football, but, man, between them, they've got a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, the Falcons are hoping that Mooney and Cousins can have a good connection. They were good working together last year. He had 67 catches for 992 and 5 touchdowns with Kirk throwing to him mostly. He hadn't made the adjustment to Penix. He's dropping a lot of balls. You know, he throws a harder ball. And he was battling some injury. So, you know, Mooney's a candidate. But, yeah, as far as how it's going this year, definitely Bijan has got his own plays in the passing game, and he's a check down guy. So he's getting a lot of action from Penix.
Kirk Cousins, and for some people a certain age, they won't understand this reference, but he looks like he's playing in a telephone booth most of the time, okay? He ain't going a lot east-west. He's stuck right there in the middle. He hasn't been the same from a movement standpoint since the Achilles injury. And I would think for the Saints, the thing would be to try to stack things up inside, take away his launch pad, and get him moving. Because if he, you know, if you let him throw the football now, I think he can still be effective. The thing about it is, not everybody's going to let him throw off that launch pad. They're going to try to get him off of there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, like I said, when he can read it at least, he'll know what's coming. And he'll know where his hot routes are. So that's the one think about the KZ veteran if you do decide to do it, you know, with more than four people. But, yeah, you mostly want to win with four. You got, you know, I guess Granderson's got a lot of sacks and Cam Jordan seems to always enjoy playing against the Falcons. So, yeah, certainly they'll definitely try to light up that pocket there for Kirk Cousins.
And got to believe the same thing, you know, if you were in defensive, you know, the Falcons defensive coordinator's room, you know, they I think they blitz something like 44% of the time anyway. But coming at Tyler Shuck, and, you know, this is his first start in the Superdome, coming off that big win at Carolina and had the bye week to kind of get ready. But, man, I just got to believe. And you guys are kind of banged up defensively. Zach Harrison's out. Josh Woods mm-hmm. out. Billy Bowman out. And still probably, I would think, Leonard Floyd out. Though I think you are going to get Divine Diablo to the active roster. But, I mean, it's no surprise. It's just a question of how well the Saints do in picking up the Atlanta blitz that we know is coming.
Oh yeah, third down for sure. But we brought that up to the DC here, Jeff Ulbrich, about a young quarterback. He said, "Well, his greatest strength to the young quarterback is the run game." So they're expecting the Saints to try to power the ball down their throats first, and then, you know, if they don't, then they'll have some pass rush opportunities against Tyler. But, you know, the way they played the run this year, that makes sense to be worried about defending Kamara on the run, you know, who everybody knows around here. So, but, yeah, there'll be certainly some blitzes and some looks for Tyler when he drops back the pass, and especially on third down.
T, how much more patience will Arthur Blank have with this regime? Because he got a lot more patience than I do. Because I think it's about done. If he'd have made a decision to get, he would have done it by now. Your thoughts on where this franchise goes next? Because I think they had built up to this year where they felt they could make a run. That's why you make that trade for James Pierce. Just hasn't worked.
Yeah, and, you know, they got 6-7 games left. You know, they got to go 6-1 to stop the streak of 7 straight losing seasons. You know, that tie franchise record if they have 8 straight losing seasons, which looks like that's coming. But, yeah, the owner's got to, you know, look at it like, hey, is it time to do a full reboot? Or have you seen enough to continue on with this group as it's currently constituted? He might think he can keep the coach and start with a new GM, or he might think he just can't keep flopping out the coach and quarterbacks. You know, they made some mistakes. They didn't work out. Like they didn't get Deshaun Watson, which, you know, they might, you know, that might be okay. But that's who they wanted after Matt Ryan, and they botched the whole transition away from Matt Ryan and or down at the bottom of the league now because of some of those decisions. So the owner's going to definitely take a look at that.
I'm curious as to, from an Atlanta standpoint, you know, Saints ain't doing well, 2-8 and 3-7. It's a big rivalry game. But you have to almost look down the road a little bit for the Falcons. You guys still got to go play the Rams.
Yep.
You know, the team that you made the trade with for Pierce, you got to play those guys. And it's like at some point, you're not even – you can't tank. All you're doing is giving the Rams a better pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because you thought you were going to playoffs and thought that was going to be a later on pick. But, you know, they got the Rams, Seattle, and the Bucks. You know, those are the three tough games, that, you know, quote-unquote tough games, you know. And then the Saints twice, the Jets, and I don't remember the other one right now. I mean, 3-4, you know, that's a possibility. That's not going to do you much. You're going to be 6-10 at that point, 6-11. So, yeah, it's a bleak season. A lot's gone wrong. The quarterback's hurt. You thought he was the future. You thought you were going to playoffs. Now you're just trying to stay out of last place.
We know the feeling.
Yeah,
we know the feeling.
We got a seat right next for you, D, because we in that same boat.
Look forward to it. Hey, we appreciate your time very much so. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Falcons beat writer at D. Orlando AJC. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, D.
Thank you, Mike and Mike. Have a great one. Happy Thanksgiving.
All righty.
You bet, buddy.
Same to you, buddy.
And it's 3:25 Sunday, Saints and the Falcons from Caesars Superdome. We'll take a break here, fans of the pro, with you till 6 o'clock tonight. Back after this here on WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Mike Dottillier here at the Rouse's 2900 Veterans Boulevard. Shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine. Dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. So I know we don't have a whole ton of time here. The Falcons have played 2 overtime games this year.
Yep.
They played 3 overtime games last year.
Yeah.
They're 1-5. They're a field goal away week 1 this year to being 6 overtime games. An extra point in New England to possibly being 7 overtime games in their last 23. Oh, my goodness. You know the Saints' last overtime game? 2021.
Yeah.
When we were coming back from Hurricane Ida against the Giants.
I remember that.
2021, they've had almost 7 in 23 games.
Well, if you were getting paid by the minute, that was pretty good.
Oh,
if you were a Falcons player, but man. But to be 1-5,
that's
the kicker. That's the crux to the whole story. You haven't been able to win close games when everything sort of counted in those overtime situations. I want to see how they try to protect Kirk Cousins in this game. Because I think it's an easy game plan to say, put extra people on the line. It's not so much the outside pressure, but it's the interior stuff. They have a new center. Remember, Drew Dolman left that team, and he went to Chicago, and he's doing a hell of a job protecting Caleb Williams in the middle. But now with a new center, man, I'm attacking him.
Right.
Think of the drop-off they've had. Alex Mack, Drew Bowman, name me the center for the Falcons.
I don't know. Hold on a sec. They've got 2 guys that are questionable. Chris Lindstrom and Matthew Bergeron.
Okay, Chris and Matthew, they're going to be the two guards. Chris is unbelievable.
Ryan Neusel. Yeah, Neusel. So they four of their five offensive linemen every game this year. The other guy played 8 of 10. The Saints have had six different offensive line combinations. They've had the same four guys every game and the same five guys for 8 of 10.
Man,
that's amazing.
Chris Lindstrom is a warrior.
Yeah.
Man, he's one of the best guards in the business. Bacheron's been an all-potential guy. At times, he looks really good, and at times, not so much. But when you go from Alex Mack to Drew Dolman, and now you've got another guy, I think what he's got, maybe 8 starts or 9 starts in his pro football career. Man, I'm going after him, and he's the straight line to Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
I'm going to overload that middle, and I'm going to dare you to say Kirk can get the ball off quick enough.
Take a break. Don't forget LSU football, the interim head coach of show, Frank Wilson, and the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup on 105.3 FM and the Odyssey app at 7. Pelicans and Mavericks, 7:30 tip-off on the Big 8. Send me back after this.
Me and Herb Tyler.
That's
2
right.
2 o'clock tomorrow.
2 o'clock tomorrow. We're gonna read that when we get back. You want to read it? I'll read it.
No, I'm good.
Back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're at the Rouse's 2900 Veterans. Come on out. 18 cents a pound sweet potatoes. Get everything you need for the fixings for Thursday and also for tomorrow. LSU takes on Western Kentucky Saturday, Tiger Stadium. Start the game at 2 o'clock with the man to my left, Mike Dettillier, and the kid that I covered when I was a sportscaster, Herb Tyler. It's the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Come out and count down to the big game at Acme 16 Surround Sound TVs. The best drink specials. Great place to hang out and watch all of LSU and college football. All thanks to the good folks at MAP Construction. And then at 4:45, catch LSU's official pregame show. Kickoff at 6:45. Voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, and color analyst Jacob Hester. It's the Tigers against the Hilltoppers tomorrow. WWL streaming live on the free Odyssey app. I'll be at the Son of a Saint Gala tomorrow night. The live auction is tomorrow night. The silent auction is already underway. It's a great group. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no question about it. And we have so many events happening.
Yeah.
Jen Hale's sideline pass is this coming Tuesday. It'll be at the Saints facilities. You can find out information on that. You can go to sidelinepass.org. And here at Rouse's, too, man, it's the Sazerac headquarters from Paris to New Orleans. Hey, if you want a few spirits over the weekend, of Thanksgiving, hey, they got it right here at Rouse's because it's the Sazerac headquarters.
I like that. Maybe we'll take some over to Paris next year when the Saints go over to Paris.
No, Bobby and I are fixing to go because you know why? We'll go there and to Monaco.
Okay.
Hey, Hebert and I got this figured out.
Okay.
Now, some of them other guys.
Diana, I hope you listen to this.
They're on their own, but me and Hebert are going.
My thanks to Rouse's. We thank them every week for all of their support. Thanks to Marcy and everybody for all they do here.
Thank you, Marcy.
Luke, Augusta, Charlie Long back in the booth again.
High school football,
lots going on. Saints and the Falcons on Sunday beat the Birds. And then we got the Pelicans and the Hawks tomorrow night. Thanks for listening, everybody. Fans in the Pro, have a good night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.